ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. We are studying the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. What happens to a person after he attains samadhi? We have to clearly understand, samadhi is not a peculiar state where man becomes, seems like unconscious. In fact, samadhi means a person becomes all consciousness, meaning not only he doesn't think he is the body, he thinks body is consciousness, mind is consciousness, everything in this world is consciousness, all is consciousness, everything is consciousness. Consciousness is another name for God, for Ishvara, for Brahman. A person realizes that what exists is only Brahman, God, nothing else. Sri Ramakrishna wants to describe what happens to that person. What happens that he, such a person, will be seeing, looking upon. Remember, when a person is in samadhi, there is no question of how that person sees, what he experiences. All these terms apply only when we are having a body and a mind. So such people, a few such people, after attaining samadhi, samadhi means knowledge that I am God, everything is God, nothing is there which is not God. That is called samadhi. Once a person understands that is called the dawn of knowledge, then there is no question of forgetting that he is not God. What does it mean? It means even by mistake he doesn't think, I am the body, I am the mind. To think I am the body and mind is to know that I am not the Atman. I did not have any samadhi. This is what Ramana Maharshi used to call as sahaja samadhi. Sahaja means naturally. Just as we very naturally think we are the body and mind, such a person, it never occurs for such a person that I am anything else excepting Brahman, excepting God. So after a man has attained samadhi, all his actions drop away. All devotional activities such as worship, japa and the like, as well as all worldly duties, cease to exist for such a person. Why does it happen? Because a marvelous truth of Vedanta is being expressed by Sri Ramakrishna here. What he says is that every activity is because of a desire. If there is no desire, there is no activity. If there is no activity, then there would be no need for instruments like the body and mind. And to understand that state, we have to recollect our experience in Sushupti, deep sleep. What is deep sleep? Temporary cessation of all desires. What happens? I am so happy. Why do I not have desires in the deep sleep state? Because I am happy, completely happy, though temporarily, until I wake up, there is not one single desire which I need to fulfill. Desire means I am not happy. Desire means I want to be happy. Desire means I have to get happiness from somewhere else. Desire means I require some instruments like the body, like the mind. Will it give? No. Even if there is body, mind, there must be many, many objects outside the body, which is called the world. If I have a desire for eating a sweet, I require sweets. And sweet is my body and mind, cannot be considered as sweet for me in a peculiar sense. I require a food called sweet. Then I have to try to find out where it is available. Some sweet meat shop, or it may be in the fridge, whatever it is, or I may order through Amazon, whatever. So there must be world, there must be body, mind, and there is a way to connect myself with the world, which is through the instrumentality of our five sense organs of knowledge and five sense organs of action. But what happens in the deep sleep state? So, absent, complete absence of desires. And when does that state appear? Only when I am very happy. Simply saying, I am not happy, but I don't have any desire. Those things, both things cannot go together. Only when I am completely happy, then only there would be no desires. So, when I am happy, then there are no desires. Then there is no need for this world and the instruments to contact the world called the body and the mind. And both these, absence of desire and experience of happiness, take place simultaneously. That is why, so long as the deep sleep state continues, I experience unbroken bliss, which is otherwise called shantihi. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling that this deep sleep state is only temporary, because as soon as we wake up, waking up means what? The waking up of desires. Immediately, body, mind and the world and unhappiness, everything springs up simultaneously, not one after the other. Now Sri Ramakrishna is explaining, permanently a person has attained to the fullness of happiness, and therefore this person doesn't have any desires. Therefore, there is no activity needed. Therefore, body, mind are not needed. This is the knowledge, I am very happy. That is the condition of only a Jivan Mukta. Remember, after a man has attained samadhi and he comes down, as it were, by God's will into this body-mind complex, all his actions drop away. All devotional activity, any activity, good, bad, devotional activities, spiritual activities. What is the difference? When I want some temporary effect, they are called worldly activities. When I want permanent result, that is called spiritual activity. So, be they devotional activities like worship, japa and the like, as well as all worldly duties, cease to exist for such a person. As we discussed, why? Because he is ever happy. When a person says, I am Brahman, I am Ananda Swarupaha, Anandoham. And then Sri Ramakrishna continues. At the beginning means what? Before one progresses into spiritual life, or before any desire is there. Only thing is, desire can be divided into worldly desire and desire for God. So, whatever it be, before I fulfill my desire, before I attain God, there would be a lot of hullabulla about work. This is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling, the psychology of life. At the beginning, there is much ado about work. As a man makes progress towards God, the outer display of his work becomes less and less, so much so that he cannot even sing the name of and glories of God. As we mentioned earlier, Bhagavad Gita is the very essence of all the Upanishads, and the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is the very essence of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, it is Bhagavad Gita in simple words. So Bhagavad Gita says, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate Yoga Rudhasya Tasyaiva Shamah Karanam Uchyate. When a person is trying to attain, to become a real yogi, a master yogi, that means a person, before knowing who he is, Karma Karanam Uchyate. Everything is karma. Bhakti is karma. Yoga is karma. Jnanam is karma. Karma yoga. Everything is karma only. Even that jnanam, that I am working without any expectation of the result, because I don't need any results. That is also karma only. That is only chitta vritti only. But that chitta vritti must become firm, that I am Ananda Swarupa. So that chitta vritti which says, I am Anandam, I don't require Anandam, he becomes free. But when such a yogi attains to that ultimate state of knowledge, Yoga Arudhasya Tasya Eva ಕ್ಷಮಃ ಕಾರಣ ಮುಚ್ಚತೆ ದೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ನೀಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಈವನ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಎನಿ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ನೌ ಸೇ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಇಲ್ಲಸ್ಟ್ರೇಟ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ವಾಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆರ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಶಿವನಾಥ್ ಸೇ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಎಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಎಸ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಎಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಎಟ್ ದಿ ಮೀಟಿಂಗ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡೀಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಯು ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಯುವರ್ ವರ್ಚ್ಯೂಸ್ ಬಟ್ ನೋ ಸೂನರ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಯು ಅರೈವ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ನೌ ದಿ ವೆರಿ ಸೈಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಎವರಿ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ನೌ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಸೇ ಆ ಹಿಯರ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಿವನಾಥ್ ಬಾಬು ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಡ್ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೇವ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಇಲ್ಲಸ್ಟ್ರೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎ ಡ್ರಾಮ ವಾಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ವರ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕರ್ಟನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ದೇ ಹಿಯರ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ನಾರದ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಓ ಹರಿ ಓ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಈಚ್ ಅದರ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ನೋ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಿಲ್ಯೂಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಲಿಫ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಕರ್ಟನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದಿ ಡ್ರಾಮಾ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಡ್ರಾಮಾ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಇಲ್ಲಸ್ಟ್ರೇಷನ್ ವೆನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ವ್ಯಾಕುಲತ ಯರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಗಾಡ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಸೇ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಯರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಡಾನ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ದಿ ರೈಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸನ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ ಈಸ್ಟರ್ನ್ ಸ್ಕೈ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ಲಿ ರೆಡ್ಡಿಶ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ ಹೊರೈಜನ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ರೆಡ್ಡಿಶ್ ಕಲರ್ ದಿ ಬರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಪಿಕ್ಯೂಲಿಯರ್ ಜಾಯ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಪ್ರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಬಿಹೋಲ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹು ಆರ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸಿಟೀಸ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಕ್ಯೂರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಟಾಲ್ ರೈಸಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಲ್ಡಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನವರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಗೋ ಟು ಎನಿ ಸೀಶೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ಬೋತ್ ಸನ್ರೈಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸನ್ಸೆಟ್ ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅರ್ಲಿ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ದಿ ಸನ್ರೈಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ಲೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಲೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಅಟ್ಮಾಸ್ಫಿಯರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಮೋರ್ ಆರ್ ಲೆಸ್ ಕೂಲ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ಮರ್ಸ್ ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವಿಲೇಜಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕೌಸ್ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಆರ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಪಿಕ್ಯೂಲಿಯರ್ ಅಪ್ಲಿಫ್ಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಟು ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಇಫ್ ವಿ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎನ್ ಎಸ್ಥೆಟಿಕ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ವೀ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೊ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಒನ್ಸ್ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಎಟ್ ದಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಸ್ಕ್ ದೆನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಫೆಲ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಸಮಾಧಿ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್ ಓ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದಿ ಕೌ ಹರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಬಾಯ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ವಿತ್ ದೇರ್ ಕೌಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಟುಡೇ ಇನ್ ಮೆನಿ ವಿಲೇಜಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ಕಾಮನ್ ಸೈಟ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ಲಿ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಲ್ಟಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಡೇರಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆರ್ ಚಿಕನ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಈವನ್ ಟುಡೇ ಮೆನಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದಿ ಕೌಸ್ ಔಟ್ ಕೌಸ್ ಗೋಡ್ಸ್ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಫಾರ್ ಗ್ರೇಜಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಾ ಎಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮಚ್ ಗ್ರೇಟರ್ ಫಿನಾಮಿನ ವೆರಿ ಕಾಮನ್ ಫಿನಾಮಿನ ಸೆಡ್ ಓ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ದಸ್ ಹಿ ಫೆಲ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಸಮಾಧಿ ಸೊ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸ್ ಹೈಲಿ ಪ್ರೋನ್ ಟು ಎಸ್ಥೆಟಿಕ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೆಮಂಡಸ್ ಜಾಯ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಶುವಲ್ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ಸ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಂಟಲೆಕ್ಚುವಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ದೆನ್ ಎಸ್ಥೆಟಿಕ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಸೊ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಚ್ ನೀಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಸಮಾಧಿ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಆನಂದಮಯ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದುಃಖ ವಾಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸಪೋಸಿಂಗ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ನೌ ಎ ಜೀವನ್ ಮುಕ್ತ ಈಸ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಜೀವನ್ ಮುಕ್ತಾಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿ ಅರ್ತ್ ಈಸ್ ನವರ್ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಜೀವನ್ ಮುಕ್ತಾಸ್ ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಇನ್ ವಾರಣಾಸಿ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಫೇತ್ ದಟ್ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಟೂ ಆರ್ ತ್ರೀ ಮಿನಿಮಮ್ ಜೀವನ್ ಮುಕ್ತಾಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ದೇರ್ ಟು ಮೇಂಟೈನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹೋಲಿ ಅಟ್ಮಾಸ್ಫಿಯರ್ ಎಟ್ ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ತುರಿಯಾನಂದ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಅದ್ಭುತಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಓನ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಬೋತ್ ವರ್ ಜೀವನ್ ಮುಕ್ತಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇ ವರ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಕಾಶಿ ವೈ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದೀಸ್ ಟೂ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಮ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಶುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಮ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿವಾನಂದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ಹಿ ಫೆಲ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಸಮಾಧಿ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ವಿಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿವ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿ ಮಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ or will of Divine Mother, two of his direct disciples lived here and passed away here in this very ashrama here. And we know by faith both of them are Jivan Muktas. What is the purpose? Because some great people like these Jivan Muktas should be there to maintain the sanctity of the scriptures, sanctity of sadhana, sanctity of shraddha, and preserving the sacredness of places of God, where God is specially manifest. That is the understanding here. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling that after my mother passed away, I wanted to perform tarpan. Tarpan means offering to the mother or father or grandmother or grandfather after they pass away. So Sri Ramakrishna wanted to do it. At that time he was in the mood of a child. That is to say, I am a devotee, you are my mother. The other mode is, I am the Divine Mother. So he used to be in these two states. They are called, one is called Nitya, another is called Leela. In this state of Leela, I am a child, I am a devotee, I have a mother, and I play with my mother. This is called Leela. So Sri Ramakrishna was telling, I went to the Ganges to perform tarpan, but as I took water into the palm of my hand, it trickled down through my fingers. That means he was thinking that, oh, I could not offer water to my own mother. Such was the great devotion of Sri Ramakrishna to his mother. Why Jivan Mukta should have so much of devotion? Because to set an example, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. So how much of veneration, devotion one should have, whether a person is realized or not, they will never lose their devotion to their own earthly parents. If that is their case, what we have to say about our own condition? So, Sri Ramakrishna, as a devotee, as if he was not a realized soul, he was weeping and he said to Haladhari, cousin, what is this? Then Haladhari replied, it is called Galita Hasta in the holy books. Sometimes, Sri Ramakrishna mistakes the names of people also. In the gospel itself, we get this, this example was given several times in the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. In another place, he says, I went to the Khajanchi, treasurer. I asked him. The answer is of course the same, that after realization, all the activities of a person drop away. But do you think if Sri Ramakrishna did not offer this tarpana to his mother, then do you think that the people, those people will have rebirth? The parents of the incarnation will be completely become free. They become liberated. By the grace of the avatara, even ordinary people become liberated. What to speak of the parents themselves? But Sri Ramakrishna wants to show an ideal, and we, the devotees, have to follow him. What about the monks, sannyasis, sannyasinis? Well, we are not free, and we have to pray for our mother, father, and all those near and dear who have passed away or who may be living also, and pray to Sri Ramakrishna, may they also come to your lotus feet. Then Sri Ramakrishna gives further illustration. Suppose a kirtan is going on, and this actually happened. Whenever Sri Ramakrishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conducted these kirtans, so these kirtans, it used to produce this marvelous effect. In the kirtan, the devotee first sings, Nitai Amar Mata Hati. That is, my Nitai means the companion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amar Mata Hati. Like a mad elephant, he dances like that. As the devotional mood deepens, he simply says, Hati, Hati, elephant, elephant. Next, all he can sing is Hati. And last of all, he simply sings Ha, and goes into samadhi. A man who has been singing all the while then becomes speechless. From speech to speechless. Slowly the sleep, the speech becomes less and less until it merges in the thought. Then he gives a beautiful illustration. Sri Ramakrishna is compared often to Kalidasa. Kalidasa was famous for his similes. And Sri Ramakrishna used to give, I think, more similes than even Kalidasa. Here is the illustration. Again, at a feast given to the Brahmins, one at first hears much noise of talking. When the guests sit on the floor with leaf plates in front of them, much of the noise ceases. Where is their attention? On the food. Then one hears only the cry, bring some luchi. As they partake of the luchi and other dishes, three quarters of the noise subsides. When the curd, the last course, appears, one hears only the sound, soup, soup, as the guests eat the curd with their fingers. Then there is practically no noise. Afterwards, all retire to sleep and absolute silence reigns. How beautifully Sri Ramakrishna is illustrating. That means he must have participated in many of these feasts and his keen power of observation had come to his aid. And then what does he say? When the last course is over, then afterwards, how beautifully Sri Ramakrishna is describing. So when curds is taken, soup, soup, that is the sound that comes out of the mouth, then is practically no noise. But here also we have to take notice of this thing. As the guests eat the curd with their fingers, if you take a spoon and then go on putting it slowly in the mouth, that soup, soup doesn't come. Only you have to take your hand and scoop up the sweet curds, then only it will be there. Afterwards, all retire to sleep and absolute silence reigns. Therefore, I say, at the beginning of religious life, a man makes much ado about work. But as his mind dives deeper into God, he becomes less active. Last of all comes the renunciation of work, followed by samadhi. Sri Ramakrishna says, what happens? Generally, the body doesn't remain alive after the attainment of samadhi. And that is more or less true because this is called sadyomukti, videha mukti. As soon as the body falls off, there is a liberation. But as soon as a person attains knowledge, even while living, is called sadyomukti. So, the purpose of life is to know who one is. And once a person comes to know of it, there is no need to keep this body any longer. Its ultimate purpose is attained. There is no need. Let it be there. Let it not be there. So generally, the body doesn't remain alive. But there are exceptions. The only exceptions are such sages as Narada, who keep their bodies alive in order to bring spiritual light to others. It is also true of divine incarnations like Chaitanya. So we have to note down two points here. First point is, sages like Narada, when they attain samadhi state, actually there will be no special type of individual ego. Just as a river merges into the ocean and it has to give up its name, form, special taste, color, etc. Like that, the ego completely vanishes when it merges in the ocean of Brahman. But then, who keeps? It is Brahman alone. For the good of the world, it keeps some people's body because they are meant to be teachers, they are meant to be exemplars that samadhi is possible and what happens when samadhi is attained. It is very important for all of us to understand. Suppose there is not one single God-realized soul to show us, first of all, who is to interpret the scriptures in the right way. Secondly, it is not only interpretation of the scriptures. These great souls, by their very life show, we don't require anything from outside to make ourselves happy. Because we think, if I can't see, then I can't enjoy any form. If I can't taste, how much people suffer if the sense of taste and the sense of smell, especially the sense of smell, because 90% taste of the food is in the fragrance, whether it is of spices or whether it is of the onion, things like that. Every vegetable has its own special flavor. If the flavor is not there, everything is flat. And here you have to take note. Suppose there is a sweet and there is no flavor, then it's the quality of its enjoyment will be much less. Even rice pudding, add a little bit of cardamom. And then it enhances the taste of the, by its flavor. So we are simultaneously enjoying both flavor as well as the taste. So flavor is even more important than any taste. In fact, even rotten food tastes also better if it is flavored with certain spices. Very interesting phenomenon. So who keeps the egotism, the body and mind alive? It is only people. God keeps some people like Narada. They are endowed with special bodies, special minds. Remember, to keep the knowledge of Brahman, just like a very delicate electronic instrument, it requires to be kept in a special condition. So also, these great people's body, they should be like that. They are made up of special material. Outside it may look like ordinary bodies. Keshav Chandra Sen understood this truth. That's why he says Ramakrishna and Jesus Christ, Buddha, these so-called great incarnations of God, they have a very special body and their bodies have to be protected with the greatest care, like delicate things are kept in a closed almirah, free from dust, etc. That's why Vishuddha Sattva, so much of Sattva Guna should be there. So sages like Narada, they don't keep, it is God who keeps. Or we can also interpret, there is no Narada here. Once that sadhaka, who was called Narada, at last merges in Brahman, then Narada, so-called Narada, becomes Brahman, and that Brahman only. So, Brahman Narada, Narada Brahman, keep certain bodies alive and function through them in order to bring spiritual light to others. More than spiritual light to others, they serve as exemplars how a person can be so good, so pure, so unselfish, so loving, and with so much of joy. Unless we glimpse such people, or at least description of such people, then the motivation for become spiritual doesn't actually arise. Then Sri Ramakrishna says, it is also true of divine incarnations like Chaitanya. What we need to add is, not only Chaitanya, all the incarnations that were known and many incarnations who were unknown to us. Also, incarnations that history has outlined, like Buddha, Jesus Christ, Sri Ramakrishna, etc. And Dashavataras, famous, 24 avataras, famous in the Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam tells innumerable avataras are there. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling that it is true of incarnations also. Their bodies are meant only as teachers to bring spiritual light for people like us. Not like us means not to everybody, but those who have gone through these experiences of the world for many, many lives, and they are awakened and they are looking for such teachings. A teaching will be effective only to a person who is eager to learn it and is equipped with certain qualifications. We have to understand that. So Sri Ramakrishna is again illustrating. After a well is dug, one generally throws away the spade and the basket, but some keep them in order to help their neighbors. The great souls who retain their bodies after samadhi feel compassion for the suffering of others. They are not so selfish as to be satisfied with their own illumination. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates this with another beautiful illustration. I will just remind you, that's all. So once four friends went out for a walk. Suddenly on their way, they came across a great enclosure and marvelous sounds of marked up joy. Eat, drink, be happy, dance, some beautiful music. These sounds were heard. So they were curious. One of them went up and he could not contain resist the temptation. She promised, I will go and tell you what is happening inside. So he jumped inside. Second person jumped. Third person jumped. Only the last person, he also had terrible temptation to jump in. But he thought, there are many other people and they can get free joy. This is freedom, means free joy, free happiness. Any other joy other than spiritual joy is to be paid. You want to go to Brahmaloka, you have to pay. You want to go to Swargaloka, you have to pay. You want to go to a very costly restaurant, you have to pay. But when you, if you can attain that highest state called God realization, joy comes along with that, and it is unbroken, permanent, and infinite. Time, space limitations completely vanish there. So there are great souls. They voluntarily retain their bodies because they feel compassion and they are not satisfied with their own illumination. And then Sri Ramakrishna is giving to us the nature of a selfish person. Sri Ramakrishna's language, expression, has a very special merit in it. We have to take note of it even in his talks. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling, you are well aware of the nature of selfish people. If you ask them to spit at a particular place, they won't, lest it should do good, do you good. You know, this is something very, very special. In the villages, there are certain beliefs are there. If a person is suffering from a particular type of disease, then you collect the spit of several persons and feed that person somehow. Don't ask why, how. No rational. It is one of the superstitions. Similarly, the urine of several people, also it is several people believe, is called urinotherapy. All sorts of things are there. That is not the point. What is good, what is bad, that is irrelevant totally. What is important is, if some person believes, this is going to do me good, in many cases, such belief itself becomes the best cure. So whether that belief is rational, irrational, whether it is superstition, that is immaterial. What is the result is alone proves whether it is real or unreal. Even if you have got the best doctor and if you don't have faith in him, then it may not be very effective at all. And then Sri Ramakrishna says, if you ask these selfish people to bring a sweetmeat worth a cent from the store, they will perhaps lick it on the way back. And every devotee laughed. Then Sri Ramakrishna, again he becomes serious. But the manifestations of divine power are different in different beings. Ordinary souls are afraid to teach others. Are ordinary souls really afraid? What we see, the general tendency, the moment a person reads even a most primary textbook, immediately he wants to show to all others that how learned I am. He wants to go on spreading his understanding after reading that particular book. So you see, ordinary souls are afraid to teach others. A piece of worthless timber may itself somehow float across the water, but it sinks even under the weight of a small bird. Sages like Narada are like a heavy log of wood, which not only floats on the water, but also can carry men, cows, elephants. Nowadays, huge ships, how many millions of tons of oil, gas, various other goods. I don't know whether you have ever seen, at least on YouTube you can see how huge these ships are, like some multi-storied buildings. And there are some people who own these ships for their personal pleasure. Everything, even gardens are available on such, not only ships, but even special aeroplanes. So some people own what in America they call yachts, that is boats, which are luxury boats. Some people, they own luxurious aeroplanes. All sorts of things are there. What we have to understand is, these things do not at all contribute to a person's happiness, unless the person is already happy. If a happy person gets these objects, his happiness might increase a great lot. But if an unhappy person owns these things, these very things cause, everybody will be enjoying excepting the owners of this place. Now Sri Ramakrishna is continuing to Shivanath and the other Brahma devotees. Can you tell me why you dwell so much on the powers and glories of God? So before we go to that subject, a small note I want to insert here. So, O God, you are the most powerful person on earth. Everybody obeys you. Why do I need to talk about like that? Does a child go on talking? My mother is a queen. My father is a king. They can do whatever they like. No, that is not the thing that we will have to understand properly. I asked the same thing of Keshav Sen. One day, Keshav and his party came to the temple garden at Dakshineswar. I told them, I wanted to hear how they lectured. A meeting was arranged in the paved courtyard above the bathing ghat on the Ganges, where Keshav gave a talk. I told them, I want to hear how they lectured. A meeting was arranged in the paved courtyard above the bathing ghat on the Ganges, where Keshav gave a talk. He spoke very well. I went into a trance. After the lecture, I said to Keshav, why do you so often say such things as, O God, what beautiful flowers thou hast made, O God, thou hast created the heavens, the stars and the ocean, and so on. Those who love splendor themselves are fond of dwelling on God's splendor. The point is, if somebody is dwelling on a particular greatness of God, that means this person very often has a desire for such things. This is what we need to understand. So, then now the topic has changed. Sri Ramakrishna is telling that, you know, supposing we have a shrine room or a temple and Hindus have the tendency to go on decorating it so much. So, once a thief stole the jewels from the images in the temple of Radhakanta. Mathur Babu entered the temple and said to the deity, what a shame, O God, you could not save your own ornaments. Sri Ramakrishna was fortunately present. The idea, I said to Mathur, does he who has Lakshmi for his handmaid and attendant ever lack any splendor? Those jewels may be precious to you, but to God, they are no better than lumps of clay. Shame on you. You should not have spoken so meanly. What riches can you give to God to magnify his glory? I just remembered an incident in the life of Saint Anthony the Great. He was one of the first or second desert fathers in the century, 3rd century to 4th century. And he struggled for more than 40 years to realize God. And it is a marvelous story. I am not going to go into that story. But important point is that when once he was walking, then he saw the devil or whatever temptation, a huge lump of gold, real gold, was kept on his way. Because when we see such kind of things, we may be tempted to, before anybody comes, grab it and run away. But this saint, he was completely indifferent to it, not only indifferent, he said, this is also a devilish trick. I don't want to do anything with this piece of gold. I have renounced Kama and Kanchana. And the devil tempted this Saint Anthony both with this Kama and Kanchana, name and fame, etc. But till the end, he completely lived only with God. And he said, a person who is accustomed to live with God doesn't relish to be with people. If he wanted, he could have had thousands of disciples. Even today he inspires people. But the point I wanted to tell, that for a devotee, this gold and other things are nothing. Because what is the psychology here? Suppose somebody has got gold. Gold brings lot of money. And with that money he can buy lot of objects which can give sense enjoyments. But the point we have to realize is, when a person is getting much, much more happiness from God, why does he require all these things? Not only he doesn't require, in fact, they become nuisance for him because valuable things need to be preserved and then an eye has to be kept, so much of attention to be done, and one may lose one's bhakti or devotion to God also. So many things are there. That is why Thakur had said, Mother, I don't want anything from you. I want you. So, this Madhu for Madhur Babu, what a type of devotee God alone knows, said, O God, you could not save your own this thing. Sri Ramakrishna says, the idea, I said to Madhur, does he who has Lakshmi for his handmaid and attendant ever lack any splendor? These jewels may be precious to you, but to God, they are no better than lumps of clay. Shame on you. You should not have spoken so meanly. What riches can you give to God to magnify his glory? As I said, what is the essence? When a person is happy, everything becomes secondary. It's not even secondary. It's not necessary. And this happiness is coming from one's own self, one's own nature. Therefore, where is the need to struggle to get happiness? Every object in this world is only a means, an instrument to get happiness. So, therefore I say, Sri Ramakrishna continues, a man seeks the person in whom he finds joy. What need has he to ask? Where that person lives, the number of his houses, gardens, relatives and servants, or the amount of his wealth? I forget everything when I say Narendra. Never, even unwittingly, have I asked him where he lived, what his father's profession was, or the number of his brothers. Dive deep into the sweetness of God's bliss. What need have we of his infinite creation and unlimited glory? The master burst into a song. And remember, whenever Sri Ramakrishna sings, first the bhava, the very essence of that song, will completely occupy his mind. Second, when he sings, he will never sing as we sing. He feels the meaning, the bhava, the essence of every word that is there in the bhajan. He enjoys it the most. The master sings, dive deep, O mind, dive deep. In the ocean of God's beauty, if you descend to the uttermost depths, there you will find the gem of love. So the Bengali equivalent to this is doob there, doob, 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 amarmon. Talatal, patal, khunzule, pabire, prema ratnadhan. So here only, instead of God's beauty, you should sell. Prema is love. So if you go deep, the deeper we go into spiritual life, the greater will be our joy, the lesser will be our desire for external things. Let us not never forget that every prani, every living creature is only seeking happiness, nothing else. And more happiness, higher happiness. That is the law in the very constitution of every living creature. And when we discover that what we are seeking is within ourselves, then we will never want even to open our eyes and look at anything. So Sri Ramakrishna continues a beautiful song. Go seek, O mind, go seek, seek Vrindavana in your heart, where with his loving devotees, Sri Krishna sports eternally. Light up, O mind, light up, true wisdom, shining lamp, and let it burn with steady flame, unceasingly within your heart. Who is it that steers your boat across the solid earth? It's your guru, says Kubir. Meditate on his holy feet. And how much of bhava, waves of ecstatic bliss, might have arisen even in those people who are listening, all these Brahma devotees, etc. This we can never even imagine. So if you have ever attended some great singer and attentively listening to that person's singing, you will at least experience a little bit of that aesthetic happiness. But here we are not talking about only aesthetic happiness. Aesthetically, Ramakrishna's voice, Ramakrishna's feelings, that is incomparable. But that is not the only thing. There are many artists who is to be lost in aesthetic happiness, like Beethoven, Mozart, etc. There is a beautiful story about Beethoven, how his 9th symphony had come to be. He practically became deaf. And one day, he was walking in a moonlight night. And then there was a small, poor house. And somehow, one of the girls in that house has acquired a battered old piano. And Beethoven, probably she was trying to imitate Beethoven's own symphonies. I don't know. I don't remember at least. So Beethoven heard, and then for some reason, some impulse, he entered into the house and then asked, may I play on the piano? And immediately the girl vacated, and then he sat down and he looked out. He saw this beautiful moon. Remember, in those days, the skyscrapers, etc. were not there. And these artists will be in a very special mood, real artists. So, immediately, new composition has come. And in the hands of master musicians, even a battered old piano turns into the most valuable instruments. And absorbed in himself, he played. And everybody was so absorbed in that play of the piano. And then Beethoven went home and then he noted down what he has written spontaneously. That has risen as a creative idea in his mind. And you know, Sri Ramakrishna was such a person. Even when he was young, 7 or 8 years old, one day he saw in the incomparable beauty of the darkened sky, against which a flock of pure white swans started flying, and that very sight had made him totally unconscious. People thought he was suffering from, this is called fits. But when he came back to consciousness, there was no sign of ill health. On the contrary, he said, I was full of joy within, inside. He was a true artist. And whenever he used to sing, he used to be absorbed in that bhava. And the fortunate people who heard the singing, they used to feel that bhava. At least temporarily, they used to enjoy that. Now, of course, all of us will miss that one. Even Swami Vivekananda's voice is not available, which used to hypnotize people. So, as somebody said, even if Swami Vivekananda speaks nonsense, it is so enchanting that it mesmerizes people. Some people's voice is a mesmerizing voice. Unfortunately, many of us do not possess that voice. So, Sri Ramakrishna is illustrating through parables, through beautiful illustrations, through similes, through singing, and it is a joyous affair. All that we can do is mentally create that atmosphere, try to enjoy it. And Sri Ramakrishna is continuing, which we will continue in our next class. Om Jananeem Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.